I welcome you to Victory and Grace. Thank you for joining me. If you have a Bible, take it and turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, we're going to be looking at just three verses for the message. And I'm here today, the pulpit's here today, the pews are here, the walls are here, but the church is gone, and I look forward to the church being able to get back together because obviously the church is not a building, it's people. I miss you all. You're in my prayers, and may God bless this message to minister to you today, and I hope it's a blessing for you. Matthew chapter 12, just three verses, and we'll read in verse 43, 44, and 45. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also with this wicked generation. What Jesus is saying here, and the main application or main understanding from these three verses, is that we all enter this world with an unclean spirit. We have an Adam nature. We didn't even get to vote on that. You know, Adam sinned, and the human race sinned in Adam. We didn't get to start like Adam. Adam started without sin, made a choice. The Bible says we do not sin after the similitude of Adam's sin or the likeness of Adam's sin, meaning that we're not like Adam when he sinned. The reason we're not like Adam is because we begin in sin. We're conceived in sin and birthed in iniquity. And that's the way we come into this world. And we sin because we have a sin nature. So we all begin in this world with an unclean nature. And that unclean nature begins in ignorance and unbelief when it comes to the light of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's not hopeless because just as we're all defiled in Adam, we all have opportunity in Christ Jesus to partake of living faith and to have our sins forgiven, and to have eternal life in heaven. Now, God has placed in this world several different ways that he gives us light. One way that he gives us light is through creation itself. God says the heavens declare his glory. And so every day, 24 hours a day, the sun is rising, the sun is setting, the moon comes out at night, the stars give us an amazing show, and creation from the heavens above to the earth below, the trees, the flowers, everything declares the glory of God. The very statement creation is different than nature. Creation implies creator. And so you look at creation, you go, there's got to be a creator. There's got to be a creator. And that's one way that God put light in the world. Okay? So another way that God put light in the world was through his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's like the wind. And the Holy Spirit goes wherever the Holy Spirit wants to go. And the Holy Spirit is not limited by man. The Holy Spirit is like the wind. Wind is not limited by man. Jesus said to Nicodemus, the Spirit goes, it blows, wherever it listeth, wherever it desires to go, it goes. And the Holy Spirit, in a way that only the Holy Spirit can do it, can bring in some way light to a person. And that's another way God places light in this world. In fact, we know from the New Testament scriptures that one of the most important things that the Holy Spirit is doing in the world today is bringing people to see the glory of Jesus Christ. The glory of Jesus Christ is the fact that he was the Son of God. And so the Holy Spirit is working to bring people into the light. And then we have the light of the Scriptures, the fact that we have the written word today, pretty powerful. And that's a blessing. And then we can take the word, we can preach the word. So through preaching the word, the written word itself, through the Holy Spirit and creation that declares the glory of God, we have light in this world. So we all begin with an unclean spirit. In Adam, we come in the ignorance of unbelief, but God is shining his light. And when we receive the light, that living faith, and we've been talking about that in our Sunday night messages, that living faith brings us into the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ, whose blood was shed to forgive us of all of our sins. This light brings us out of the uncleanness of the Adam nature and into a brand new nature, a brand new spirit given to us by God. But if somebody goes through this life and they reject the light, whether it's the light of creation, the work of the Holy Spirit, the preaching of the gospel message, picking up and reading the scriptures, and they reject the light, they reject it, they actually take on what the Bible says is the spirit of Antichrist. That's different than just ignorant and unbelief, like we all enter this world. This is a rejection of the light. This is the spirit of Antichrist. And if that person exits out of this world like that, oh, well, the last state of that person is far worse than they began. Because the one thing we don't get from Adam, we don't inherit it from Adam, is the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of unbelief. We didn't inherit that in the fall of man. Adam didn't give anybody that. That's individual accountability. Unbelief, rejection of the light that God has put in this world, embracing the spirit of Antichrist. The devil is trying to keep people in the darkness of unbelief. When they exit out of this world in unbelief, the last state, the darkness is worse there than it was at the beginning. And that is the what I believe is the real purpose and meaning of what Jesus is giving us here in this passage. Now, I want to take it and staying in complete harmony with its purpose and its context, I want to give us some thoughts that are practical to you and I who do believe in Jesus Christ. We do embrace the light. We believe in the gospel. We have living faith, but we also have that Adam nature. And sometimes we get walking in that Adam nature and we forget, no, we got a whole different way of thinking about life. And so that's why we're taught in Scripture, make sure you're renewing your mind. Otherwise, you'll do the natural thing. You'll walk in the mindset of the Adam nature and you'll forget you got something more powerful than that. You got something that can see life from a whole different perspective that's more empowering, more enriching, and has the ability to give you what you're looking for but will never find in the Adam nature. And so that's the way I want to read through these scriptures here. So with that in mind, let's go back to verse 43, and I'll just talk our way through it here. And if you have your Bibles, follow along and read with me here. When the unclean spirit, and we all have that nature, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, interesting phrase, it's gone out. Say, where'd it go? It's gone out. We all have a nature within us that likes to go out. You know what I'm saying? Where'd so-and-so go? Oh, she's gone out. Where? I don't know. She just said she was going out. Where'd so-and-so go? I don't know. He went out. You know, I don't know. He just said he was going out. In the book of Proverbs, young man, Solomon says he looked out the casement of his window, saw a young man in the street, say, what was he doing? He was just going out. He was going out. And he went to the street corner. And it was like twilight, you know, the sun was setting and he's already gone out. He's hanging out. And then it's dark and he's still out. And then it's in the deep and the dark night. And that's the time she comes out, you know. He knew that street corner where that's where she comes out. And he went out. He's going out. There's a nature inside that is sensory and it is looking for something in the world to satisfy the sensory element. That is the natural man. Taste this world. Touch this world, feel this world, hold this world, and try to get out of this world something that at the end of the day, it truly cannot give. But the natural man cannot think that way. He believes it can give what he wants. And so he goes out. He's a wandering spirit. That's, I guess, really the first statement. The natural man, the unclean spirit, is a wandering spirit. It wanders. In fact, it wanders like W-O-N-D-E-R. It wanders what it's like out there until it wanders W-A-N-D-E-R. It wanders out to try to possess and have. It's a wandering spirit. Lot chose, you know, there was division between him and his between him and Abraham and their herdsmen. They couldn't get along. They were both so prosperous. There were so many of them, they had to divide and go separate ways. And Lot got to make the first choice. He chose the well-watered plains over by the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he lived in the plains until he wandered into the city. And the next thing you know, Lot's living in the city, vexing his righteous soul with things that he heard and things that he saw. The nature of man is to wander. And so we see this. Samson, always wandering down in amongst the Philistines, the Philistine women. He was a wanderer, and that's the nature. So notice first and foremost that the unclean spirit is a wandering spirit. It goes out. Where the unclean spirit go? It's gone out. It's gone out to wander around. And then the next thing it says in verse 43, he walketh through dry places. Now, from that statement, he walketh through dry places, I'm going to make this statement. The unclean nature is a thirsty nature, because if you hang out in dry places, eventually you get thirsty. It's a thirsty spirit. It's a wandering spirit, and it's a thirsty spirit. Because it tries to satisfy itself on things it cannot satisfy. If you're thirsty, Mountain Dew might taste good, but it really is not something that you need at that point. It's got caffeine in it. It actually dehydrates you. It makes you more thirsty. You have to drink more of it, and it will never truly satisfy the thirst. And that's the way the old man is within all of us. It seeks to satisfy a thirst by wandering in all things, in dry places. Now, the natural man does not just like wander into a church service. He doesn't just wander into the middle of a prayer meeting. He doesn't just wander into a Bible study. The natural, the carnal nature wanders into dry places, and Satan is a master. He's the prince in the power of the air. He's a master at making dry places look like well-watered oases when in fact they're not. They're not, but they look like it. And because the natural man is sensory to the things of this world, he wanders towards money, he wanders towards popularity, he wanders towards success, he wanders towards pleasure, he wanders towards all the different things in this world. He's a sensory man, and he has senses that are tied in to the natural elements of this world. So, first, the unclean spirit is a wandering spirit. Number two, it's a thirsty spirit. And then look at verse 43 again. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking. Third statement, the unclean spirit is a seeking spirit. It seeks. It's not passive. It doesn't just sit around. It seeks something from this world to satisfy its sensory elements. Now, because we all have this Adam nature, because we have it and we enter the world with it, we develop and grow up. We all have different things that we look at in this world and think, this is what's going to satisfy me. These things become what I believe the Bible calls strongholds. These are the strongholds of the natural mind that become a driving force, and we wander and we spend time in dry places seeking to satisfy a thirst that will never be satisfied. But we have a stronghold of the mind that is absolutely convinced that there is something sensory in this world that can produce the satisfaction. It can quench the thirst. Okay, woman at the well, she was drinking at the well, but the well in her life wasn't that well outside the city of Samaria. The well she was drinking from, that well was the well of marriage. She was convinced that somewhere there was some man so perfect, her soulmate, that was going to make her so happy that if she could just find him, it would right all the wrongs from the past and make the journey worthwhile. That is an unclean spirit going out in dry places to seek what it cannot find. Okay? So again, back to verse 43. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest. Next statement, the unclean spirit is a restless spirit. It's restless. It's seeking something because it's restless. It knows it needs something it doesn't have. There's a void that's not filled, an empty spot. There's a room that needs something in it. It's a restless spirit looking in dry places, remaining thirsty, seeking because it's restless. And what's the end result in verse 43? It says, and findeth none. It's looking for rest, but finds none. It's looking for rest, but it finds none. It's looking for that elusive peace that it cannot find, that elusive joy that it can't get, the elusive rest that it's seeking, but it doesn't find it. Solomon, the man had everything. And he tried to find something in the things of life that the things of life could not produce. He traveled the world. He collected rare artifacts all around the world. He collected exotic animals all around the world. He had his own exotic zoos. He had gardens with exotic plants. He collected exotic women, women that were the daughters of kings and queens, and they had power and prestige. He had 1,000 wives altogether. He was a collector of things, and when he got all done, he said, vanity of vanities, I didn't find what I was looking for. I didn't find what I was looking for. And so the unclean spirit, it goes out. It's a spirit that wanders, and it tends to wander in the dry places because Satan's a master of deception, seeking the rest that everybody wants in life. Not like rest, like I don't do anything, but just I have rest in my soul. I finally found joy, contentment, peace, happiness, security, rest. And the end result, findeth none. Findeth none. There's two ways to come to this place in life. One, take the journey Solomon took. Go get everything. If you have the ability to do it, go get everything that you think could possibly make you happy. And you'll find out that everything you were looking for wasn't there. There's still an emptiness. The other way is you go out and you just go, man, I failed at everything. Had 20 jobs, got fired from every one of them. Tried things, never worked. Lost all my money, end up broke 5 different times. You can just like totally fall apart in life and then go, I never found what I was looking for. I didn't find it. And that's the journey of the unclean spirit, the natural man in this world. Those who succeed still don't find it. Those who fail, they don't find it, because this world doesn't have it. So, verse 44. Look at verse 44. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Empty, swept, and garnished. He comes to a, I got to return home moment. The wandering spirit says, I got to kind of go back to my roots. I got to go back to my hometown. I got to go back to the playground I used to play on. I got to go back and drive by my high school that I graduated from. I got to go drive by the house I grew up in. I got to rethink life. I got to sort all this out. I got to figure out what worked and what didn't. Come up with a new plan. Goes back to regroup and then says, you know what? I'm empty and a lot of my dreams have been swept away. I'm empty, and a lot of my dreams have been swept away. Came back to find the hope chest. The hope chest was gone. Came by to get my big adventure book, all the things I was going to do in life. Couldn't find the big adventure book. Got carried off, thrown out in the garbage. It's gone. Swept, empty. And then it also says garnished. That's decorated. There's decor. But the decor, you know, swept clean, emptied out, and the decor in the room, that's not what I would have picked. If we went over to the man's house that we meet up with in Scripture, by the pool of Bethesda, spent 38 years infirmed. He'd show us the couch and say, see that couch? I spent 38 years on that stupid couch. I gave 38 years of my life on that stupid couch. Sick and infirmed, I'll promise you, I didn't pick out that piece of furniture for my house. It ended up in my house. I had to deal with it. 38 years. You ever looked around at your life and go, this is not how I thought I would decorate. This decor was not my choice. I didn't pick out those curtains. That woman infirmed 12 years, went to doctors, spent everything, got worse. I never planned on 12 years. I didn't put that decor in my house. Then you look across the room and you go, hey, why is that door over there in this house have all those locks and bolts on it? And you go, oh, that's because we're in the man's house that had a maniac son throw himself into the water, try to drown himself, throw himself into the fire, try to burn himself. You talk about a dad that can't sleep at night. You talk about a dad that had a kid. You know, having kids is supposed to be a great experience. This dad had a kid, rearranged his whole life. He didn't ask. They had to add that room onto the house. They had to put that door on there, put all those locks on there, and that dad would say, this was not part of my original design. I did not plan my house like this. And so you come to the place where you go, some things get swept away. Some things are emptied out, and you can't get them back. And then some of the decor, you look at it and go, man, I would have never picked, I'll promise you, I would have never picked that couch for my house. And I would have never put those drapes up over that window. And I never planned on having to put an addition, a room addition on for a boy like that. And sometimes life brings us to a place where we stop and we go, I'm empty. Things have been swept away. The way my life looks is not what I planned on, but it's what I got. And this becomes a very critical point because one of two things will happen at this point. For a lot of people, for the natural man in the natural spirit, if somebody continues to think according to the natural, you know what happens? People who haven't had a drink in 10 years start drinking again. That's what happens. People who quit smoking 20 times and haven't had a cigarette in 10 years start smoking again. Depression doesn't get better at this point. Depression gets worse. The hopeless spirit gets more hopeless. Anger gets more angry. Dumb gets dumber. Stupid gets stupider. And foolish gets more foolish. And this is where we get the statement, started out clean. Excuse me, started out unclean. That's bad. But then it got sevenfold worse. Seven's an infinite number. Like, it got infinitely worse. Kind of like we start in the Adam nature, but if you exit this world in the darkness of unbelief, having rejected the light, oh, that's not just seven times worse. That's infinitely worse. And in the human context of taking the journey through life, oftentimes people come to these kinds of a moment where they go, you know what? I'm dry. I'm thirsty. I've tried everything. I've found nothing. My life has been swept away. My life has been emptied out. I got decor in the house I would have never chosen. I wouldn't have picked it, didn't expect it. This is nothing like I thought my life was going to look like. And at that moment, everything that the natural man is becomes more of what it is, more unclean. Anger gets more angry. Bitterness gets more bitter. Fear gets more fearful. Anxiety becomes more anxious. Life will make you more anxious. It won't make anxiety go away. If you're anxious at 16, wait till you have a kid when you're 20. Wait till when you're 30-something and you hand the kid the car keys. It will redefine what anxiety is. And then as you grow older and you realize the grave is inevitable, you're in touch with your own mortality, right? And you go through this and you go, you know what? Anxiety, life will not make anxiety go away. And bad goes to worse. Unless... That beautiful light, that living faith, that dwells on the inside taps you into a brand new nature, a brand new spirit in Christ Jesus, more powerful than the old man, a brand new spirit that can face the anxiety of life, the perplexing problems of life, and yet not despair. A brand new spirit that can drink from living water rather than wandering in a dry land. A brand new spirit in Christ Jesus that places the resurrection power of Christ inside the believer so that we can navigate through the emptiness, the sorrows, the disappointments, and even the garnishing of life that we would not go, man, I would never have signed up for this. And yet you go, this is what my life looks like. I got a room on the back of my house I never thought I would need. I got a couch I never thought I would be infirmed on. I got issues I never thought I would have to deal with. And in the natural man, it just goes from bad to worse, but the new man in Christ Jesus. Oh, these fiery trials, these problems, this sweeping of the house, this emptiness, this garnishing we didn't ask for. These fiery trials are intended to bring us into a whole new way of thinking through Christ Jesus, where we go, you know what? My living water's not in this world. My living water is Jesus himself. My living bread, I can't get it from this world. Jesus is my living bread. The peace that I'm looking for doesn't come by grabbing more money and having this and more security and getting it for myself so that I can be secure. It's in actually letting go and realizing that God feeds the sparrows. They don't sow a garden. They don't reap a harvest. They don't store anything up in barns, and yet God feeds them and cares for them, and that's the God who told me not even to worry about tomorrow because he's already got it right there in his hand. That's the peace that passes understanding. And when we come to the place where we go, I have wandered in a dry and thirsty land. I have been seeking and unable to find what I'm looking for. I've come to a place where I go, man, my life is empty. I've had things swept away, and I've had to deal with things I never asked for. It's those moments that we discover the power of the resurrected Christ that dwells within us, true living water, true peace from God, the peace that passes understanding. Take these three verses. Let God's Spirit help you meditate on these three verses and show you that we do not walk in the natural man. We walk according to the power of the new man in Christ Jesus. And may that fill you full of joy. Say, I didn't get what I was looking for in life, Pastor Kip. Well, that's all right. If you got it all, you still wouldn't find what you were looking for. You understand that? If you got it all, you still would not find in all that you have the thing you were looking for, because it's not there. It is in the person and the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. May he fill you full, joy abundant. May this be your meditation in the week ahead. God bless you, and I look forward to being with you again.